As I was thinking of today, I realized that I still struggle with the conundrum of Jesus' baptism. And I would like to say I'm the only person in the world who struggles with it, but I don't think I am, because it shows up often as one of the difficulties of why did Jesus need to be baptized? And so I was thinking of that while also thinking of a new year. And I wasn't actually, well, I was mostly joking, but by now, here we are on the 11th, more than 50% of people have broken their New Year's resolutions already, because 8% of people managed to keep them until June. I have great respect for those 8% and great sympathy for the other 92, because I have been that kind of person in the past, which is why I no longer make resolutions. There's nothing wrong with resolutions. Make them if you will. But and I can't remember if I mentioned this. I came across this idea of setting intentions for a new year. Not so much a resolution, which is something that's easily measured. Once again, nothing wrong with that. But an intention says this is sort of my, it's almost a theme for the year. And I was thinking about that, and I realized that over the years I'd gotten very good, finally, at seeing the good right in front of me, instead of looking at it and sort of looking behind for what might be wrong with it, or, you know, where the hidden snap is, because that's what pessimistic people are like. And I decided I didn't want to become a pessimistic person. I've been working on becoming an optimist for a long time, or at least more optimistic, and so I see the good. And so my intention for this year isn't just to see the good, because that's happening, but the intention is to look for the good, to see where it's, see where it might be hiding. Because sometimes you have to look for it. Sometimes what seems neutral, sometimes what seems bad, does still manage to conceal some good in it somewhere. We may not be able to see it for a while. As I continue the streak of why is this happening in my life these days, we had a lengthy email from one of my brothers, or a WhatsApp message. He said this is why he hadn't been talking, he hadn't been active over the Christmas season. It was because he slipped and fell. It happens. He doesn't remember the fall. He got into the car. They were taking the kittens off for their pre-op visit before the kittens got the big operation the next day. And he waited for his daughter, and his daughter came in, looked at her dad, and thought, you're sort of out of it. So they called the EMTs, right? They called and they checked him over, and his vitals were okay, so they, whatever. After two or three more days of brain fog and fatigue and all that, they called 911 again, and this time they took him to the hospital where they did a CT scan. They did two CT scans, a number of other things, and a severe concussion and a fractured skull. I'm tempted to have hard words for that first crew of EMTs. Because, not to give myself airs, because I don't have any in this area, but I do know what concussion protocols look like, and they're not very hard. You know, really. And if somebody's fallen on ice, it's not such a bad idea to sort of feel their head. He is now recovering. He'll be off work for a little while. His screen time was reduced and all that. And so I encouraged him to take as much time as he needs. Difficult as that is, he's one of those people, and he talked about how hard it is for him to sit and do nothing. And I said, the only thing that helped me when the only operation I've had that I can think of that really was a bother was when I got my heel spurs done, which kept me out of everything for a month. And the only way I kept from going crazy was by telling myself quite regularly, I'm working really hard at getting better. From the outside, it looks like I'm sitting, reading a book with my feet up. But on the inside, I'm working hard at getting better. Because sometimes we have to do that. And as I was thinking of this new year and new things, not just new injuries in my family, not just new peculiar behaviors by other people, meeting somebody coming towards you on Highway 1 in the lane to the left of you when you're in the right-hand lane, is an excitement I could do without. I hope they're fine. I wish them no ill. The fact that they gave my heart a bit of a workout, I'm glad my son was there, so I have a witness that I didn't just imagine this. All of these things, and I thought, so what do we do? What do we do with the things we don't want to do? And even more so, what do we do with the things that we don't have to do, really, but we have to do anyway? And that's where that's my current thinking about the conundrum of Jesus' baptism, is that Jesus got baptized not because of anything Jesus needed, not because of anything John needed, because John said, what do you mean baptize you? You know, like that's like, okay, we're picking teams for a relay race, and it comes down to me and Usain Bolt, and Usain Bolt says, you should go ahead. You know, no, that's not how it works. John understood what was going on. John had a divine insight into who Jesus was. And so for him to baptize Jesus was a stretch, because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was for turning around, for leaving a life behind that you no longer wanted. How does that fit with Jesus? Well, it doesn't. But not everybody knew who Jesus was. And so when I think of the baptism of Jesus, and I think of this new year, and new years are a good time to rethink things, maybe make resolutions, maybe make intentions, maybe not do either. You're under no obligation, thank goodness. But maybe it's a time for us to remember that sometimes we do things not because we have to, but because we have to, which is a very foolish way to put it in some ways, but I don't know how else to put it. Jesus got baptized as much as anything, not for him, not for John, but for other people. Because what Jesus did by being baptized is, in microcosm, the incarnation. Because Jesus came to be like us, to be stuck with all of the complications of a human body, to radically identify with us. Not because Jesus had to, but because Jesus did. And Jesus got baptized not for the repentance of sins, not because Jesus was suddenly going to turn around because he was, I don't know, on his way to Las Vegas to gamble away the family fortune. Jesus did it so other people could see that Jesus was a human being just like them. The fact that there's more to Jesus is something that came clear with time to some people in Jesus' lifetime, and has continued to become more and more clear with time as we study the whole idea. And so in some ways, as we come into a new year and things change, we get a new calendar, we get a new way of thinking, we spend depending on who you are, a week or two putting the wrong date on things, the wrong year. I was very gratified when I talked to a number of people who, you know, back when you wrote checks for everything, because that's how you did things, I found that for the first half of January, I always got the right year. For the second half of January, I got the wrong year. But it wasn't last year, it was a year before last year. So I'd be writing checks, instead of putting 2025, which was wrong, I'd put 2024, which is doubly wrong. And I thought this was a mark of, I don't know, incipient insanity or something. Then I found a whole bunch of other people they did the same thing. I don't know why. They didn't know why. All I know is that at least I had friends if I was crazy. We change calendars. We change things. We look at the world slightly differently when a new year comes. It's not a huge dramatic thing for most of us, but we do notice, don't we? Sometimes we go to parties, sometimes we stay up till midnight with people, or sometimes we just find a feed in another time zone and watch their New Year's celebrations so we can go to bed on time. But we notice this, and we pay attention to it, and we do things about it, and we talk to other people about it, not because it changes anything. a day in the calendar is just a day in the calendar, and yet we still pay attention to those things. And I was thinking that that is an incredibly trivial but similar thing to Jesus doing what was expected. Not because Jesus needed it, but because we needed it. The people back then needed it. They needed to know that Jesus' radical identification with human beings covered everything. And so Jesus' baptism wasn't a baptism to change Jesus, but it was to change us. The incarnation was Jesus saying, I understand you, in a way that most of us really can't grasp when we think of, you know, the creator of everything. Of course, the creator of everything understands us because, well, everything was created by this being. How could they not understand? I that's never resonated with me. And I've talked to a lot of people who don't find that resonance either. But Jesus, that's different. Because Jesus came to be just like us, to deal with the frustrations of the day, with the skinned knees as a child, with the stubbed toes, with the people talking smack about them when they're not around, because that's just life. And Jesus did those things not for Jesus, but for us. One of the things that has helped me in some ways is drawing a distinction between Jesus and the Christ. Richard Rohr has been very helpful for me in this. And the Christ, the universal, the forever Christ, and Jesus, who was also the Christ, but was also like me. And Jesus was baptized, even though he didn't need it, because it was good for me. And when I don't say the clever, kind of mean remark that makes everybody laugh except the person it's aimed at, when I don't do that, that's a little bit closer to what Jesus would do. When I do what needs to be done, not for me, but for somebody else, whether it's at significant cost or not much. I mean, the sort of the cost of getting baptized wasn't much. I mean, it was an identification with a different way of thinking, to be sure. I don't want to minimize that. But it didn't cost you any money. It didn't take weeks to prepare for or anything. It was just a thing that happened. And there are lots of small things that I don't have to do. But when I do them, people around me are better. You don't have to say good morning to people. There's no law that says you do. You don't have to smile back at people who smile at you. You don't have to wait that extra moment for someone who's a little slower on ice to cross the street before you just, you know, keep driving as soon as you can possibly fit your car behind them without hitting them. You don't have to do these things. But when we do them, we do what is right for more than just us. Sometimes it costs us something. But often it costs us so very little. And in a real sense, Jesus' baptism cost Jesus nothing at all. Because Jesus didn't need... Jesus and John were the only two people there who knew, in one very small sense, how unnecessary this was. But he did it anyway. And so when we do those things, maybe that's what we can look at for this new year. Is keeping our eyes open for things that we don't have to do, but when we do, it makes things better. Giving somebody that extra moment. Giving somebody who's telling you a story that you've heard before the full attention that they deserve. Because they're a human being made in the image of God, and one day, too, you will repeat your stories if you don't already. These things don't have to be hard. following Jesus isn't all about being crucified every day. We sometimes sort of do this all or nothing idea that either we are insanely sold out to Jesus or we're nothing. No. When we do those things that aren't required but are good, I think it's a small similarity to Jesus and his baptism. That's part of me looking for the good, I think. Because when I see the good, it's almost never in isolation. It almost always involves a person being good, doing something. And I'm looking forward to working at finding those things and then celebrating them. Not because I have to. Not because the Bible tells me I have to. Not because I'll get fired if I don't, or you will look down on me if I don't. But because it's the right thing to do. And it'll make my little part of the world just that much better. So it's a new year. We talk about Jesus' baptism. That doesn't explain it all by any means. There's still lots to ponder about Jesus' baptism. But maybe that's one of the ways that we can identify with it just a little bit more than we have before. Is the reminder that when Jesus did what Jesus didn't have to do, it made things better for the people right there, and it can make it just as much better for us. Amen.